the whole purpose of Mass, in a way, is to form communion, that we step out as the body of Christ from the Mass and address all these issues. But it's in the Mass that we are formed into this body of Christ. So social justice, by necessity, is not a primary makeup of the Mass. It is a result of the Mass.
Okay, welcome back into another episode of The Deacon of the Dock. I'm here with my favorite co-host, Deacon Mike Beauvais.
And I am here with my favorite co-host, Dr. Thaddeus Romanski, the dock part of The Deacon of the Dock.
Indeed, and we're here to continue our discussions on our book, Reclaiming Vatican II, by Father Blake Britton, that we're doing our classes in Waco and Bryan College Station area this fall. And we're going to delve into the first half, well, actually, I guess the first quarter of his longest chapter in the book, which is on the liturgy.
Yes, we're not going to get very far into this because there's lots of things to talk about.
Lots of beautiful, great, eye-opening things to talk about. So let's get started. He quotes from Sacrosanctum Articles 5 through 7, that block quote, and I underlined at the very end of that block quote, "Christ indeed always associates the church with himself in this great work, the sacred liturgy, in which God is perfectly glorified and men are sanctified." And my reaction to that was, what a scandalous thing it was for Martin Luther to say faith alone, looking at it from that perspective, right? That the salvation that we have through Christ is a great work. His ministry is all about works of healing, works of communion, and then finally the work on the cross, and that how the Mass is that continuation of that work that he did in his passion. So Christ's entire mission was a work of salvation, and to how it, from that perspective, looking at it in that way, how at odds with the Christian tradition is some notion of a faith alone theology.
Well, especially from the standpoint that there isn't anything required of us. And yet if the body of Christ is not busy with the glorification of God, then we are not completing the actions of Jesus as we're required to. And this is the point Sacrosanctum Concilium makes, is that the whole point of the Mass is twofold. And one of those folds is to glorify God in continuation and in conjunction with what Jesus did.
Right, right.
And which is why the sacrifice of the Mass has always been seen as a sacrifice in continuation with Christ's sacrifice.
I was really struck by his delving into the Hebrew word of habeda, and that's the word for cultivate. This is on page 50.
Yeah.
And he reads,
from Genesis.
Yes. He writes that the use of this verb by the Jewish authors of Genesis clearly indicates that they saw Adam as a liturgical figure. I'd never thought of Adam in this way. Adam, as being composed of both body and soul, was an instantiation of the world of spirit and the world of the flesh. He is seen as the mediator of a covenant between God and creation. This is a direct consequence of his being created in the image of God. So Adam is a priest. And before anything else, he's called to represent all of creation by glorifying God. And so that's he's a type of Christ in that mm-hmm. in that respect, right?
Yes. And again, this is when we look at the Old Testament, the understanding from the very beginning is that each man was a priest.
Mm-hmm.
From the very beginning, Adam was intended to be a priest because a priest's role is to make sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And again, part of that sacrifice in this context was to give of himself to cultivate the earth, to be a steward.
Mm-hmm.
That was his sacrifice, to give back to God what God had given him.
Now, I can see from that perspective of the liturgy as adoration of the Father or glorification of God. I do think that the horizontal nature of mm-hmm. the way the Mass now is currently typically offered, I do think that that can obscure or mute that aspect of the Mass. It's harder to see or feel that we're glorifying God when a liturgy is mundane and mm-hmm. spare
yes.
and without much adornment. And you lose that transcendent nature, that transcendent feeling that you get from a Latin Mass, for example, especially a high Mass. And it can feel a little bit like we're glorifying ourselves as a community.
Well, that's been one of the knocks of you know, modern liturgy, is that it's much more about what am I getting out of it than what am I putting into it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm focusing on what am I putting into it, well, then the question arises, what am I trying to achieve by what I'm putting in?
Mm-hmm.
And so again, this is, you know, ultimately about giving glory to God. You know, that's why I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
And so
now, what do you think your participant, your one loquacious participant, your participant who has a lot to offer oftentimes, what would that participant probably be saying in response to what we're talking about here?
That it's also important to engage the people, and so that how welcome they feel, how satisfied they feel with the ambiance and things like this. So that has to be a consideration in the Mass. And my rebuttal, of course, would be yes, but a very, very secondary consideration, because the primary consideration is always, are we fulfilling the purpose of the Mass
mm-hmm.
to the specifications of what has historically been the understanding of Mass, which is laid out in Sacrosanctum Concilium.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, that redemption of man, in my opinion, is on equal footing with the glorification of God.
Mm-hmm.
But the glorification of God is our job. Redemption is God's job.
Mm-hmm. And I'll confess, I think that there's people of that participant's persuasion or point of view, I think oftentimes, I think they add a third job of the liturgy, which is that it's supposed to be a catalyst for social change.
Yes,
for social,
very much so.
For social justice.
Yes, very much so.
And social justice can take a lot of different forms. I mean, the pro-life movement is a work of social justice.
Mm-hmm.
Caring for single mothers is a work of social justice. Caring for the immigrant is a work of social justice. Defending the integrity of the family, all those are all works of social justice, right?
So, but they should spring from the Mass,
right?
Not be necessarily be trying to think of the proper word, a cohesive part of the Mass. And so,
because I guess the way I would look at it, and I think you would look at it the same way, is that glorification of God and then
the redemption of man,
and so are each individual person's re-communing with or
reconciliation.
Yes, thank you, gosh. Each person's reconciliation with God through the Mass and their proper worship of God, those are what then turn them towards loving their neighbor.
Well, and again, the whole purpose of Mass, in a way, is to form communion, mm-hmm. so that we step out as the body of Christ from the Mass, mm-hmm. and address all these issues.
Right.
But it's in the Mass that we are formed into this body of Christ.
Right.
And so social justice, by necessity, is not a primary makeup
right.
of the Mass. It is a result of
right.
the Mass.
We shouldn't be forging ahead with social justice in order to have a proper understanding of our worship of God and our reconciliation with Him. It should be that once we've worshiped Him properly and we are reconciled with Him, we'll have a proper understanding of social justice.
That's it.
Right?
Yes.
And so if we get a liturgy that's too spare, it's not characterized by beauty, a proper understanding of beauty.
Yes, it is not uplifting.
And it's not transcendent.
Right.
And it's not making us realize that we're the creature and he's the creator, then we're necessarily going to have an improper understanding of how we're supposed to treat our fellow man.
Well,
because we're not going to understand ourselves properly.
Right, and this was one of the points St. Mother Teresa said, is that, you know, if that is our focus, if we take the Mass out of the equation, we become social workers. And as Catholics, we're not social workers.
Right, right.
We are the body of Christ.
Right.
And we get that confused quite a bit nowadays.
And I think that's where I would like to, I could probably stand to understand Dorothy Day mm-hmm. and the Catholic Worker Movement yes. better, because from what I've read about a little bit about it, there was a really tight cohesiveness between her liturgical life, her prayer life, and her social work that she did. She was a very orthodox, she was an orthodox Catholic.
Yes, and her belief was that she was doing what she was doing because she was compelled by the Mass
right.
to do this.
Right. There's an anecdote that I think a priest came to celebrate the Mass in one of her Catholic worker houses, and this would have been after the council. He got a coffee mug out to celebrate, to use for the chalice, and that she was incensed and said, don't even think about doing that. You know, use your chalice from your Mass kit. Good. Or we'll, I may not be reporting that story completely accurately, but the point of it, of that anecdote, is that she valued and saw the understood the importance of proper worship.
Yes.
And beauty and beautiful vessels.
Yes.
And adornments for the worship of God.
Yes. The proper accoutrements mm-hmm. that, again, are designed to lead the people to an understanding of what's going on.
Yeah. And that kind of takes me back to Father Britton, who writes on 51, that in Jesus, humanity is reoriented toward God, no longer navel-gazing, but looking toward the Father. Even more, humanity is afforded the opportunity of sharing in the same intimacy and communion with the Father that Jesus himself enjoys. And I feel like if we don't have that sense of communion with God and knowing that we're loved and valued beyond all measure, even though we're failures, even though we're sinners, and that
speak for yourself,
and that we can be reconciled. We're not going to be able to love our neighbor properly.
Yes,
we're gonna fall to doing things for them out of convenience or what is kind of maybe easier for them at the time, rather than helping them, accompanying them towards greatness, accompanying them towards being all that they are meant to be.
Accompanying them towards reconciliation.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. So I think this is a really important consideration. And that's what we've tried to do today. We've tried to have a lively conversation to get you thinking, to get you talking. And so we appreciate you joining us on a run of the Deacon of the Dock, but we'll be back next time.
We'll see if we can't find something else interesting to talk about, to sometimes disagree about, but always to be faithful about.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Deacon on the Dock podcast. If you've enjoyed it, please consider going to redsearadio.org/donate and supporting religious education for the domestic church.